Okay, good afternoon. I'll call the order of the meeting of the State Government Budget Division for March 23rd, 2009. We don't yet had a quorum, but for most bills, we've been hearing them, and when we get our budget targets, then we will be voting finally on them. So the first bill we've got up today is Senate File 1016. Senator Murphy, welcome to the State Government Budget Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 1016 is simply an initiative to bring a little bit more money into the state of Minnesota and also permit some of these. It's Minnesota bonds. And what we're trying to do is establish a bond program so that individuals can invest in state general obligation bonds. My understanding from talking with some folks at finance is that this kind of runs parallel to some of the things that they've been trying to do, investing, getting more investors involved and the private investor. Right now, a lot of these bonds, they get sold to, the large stakeholders, and folks like us don't get a chance to invest in Minnesota. This would give individuals that opportunity. Mr. Chairman, I know going forward from just talking with finance just now that there's probably a couple things that need to change in the bill to make it even more appealing to smaller investors, and we'll be making those changes. My understanding is one of them is on the minimum denominations, maybe moving that to $1,000 instead of $500. apparently, when these bonds are there's transaction fees that go along, and if you have at $500, there's more transaction fees that are going to be in play. And somebody has to pay for those, and that kind of you lose a little bit of the profit that we want to make on this through those fees. So we're probably going to change that up to $1,000, and then maybe a couple other small amendments, Mr. Chair. But members, this is a good program. Like I say, it's going to get investors like the folks in this room involved instead of just having the large investors getting into the game.
Okay, first let the record reflect we do have a quorum now. If Senator Murphy, and maybe more for fiscal staff, Mr. Windy, if we change the minimum denomination from 500 to 1,000, do we have any sense if that's going to change the fiscal norm?
I'm not sure. I guess okay. We'd have to talk to finance.
Okay. And Senator Murphy, it has a blank up to blank percent of the state general obligation bonds sold per year, maybe sold in this program. I suppose we ought to try to come up with some number in this budget division before I just kick it upstairs to finance committee. That's probably our initial responsibility. Do you have any sense in talking to finance, Minnesota management budget?
Kind of
number they'd be looking at?
Mr. Chairman, if we put in 10, I think that'll work. That'll give the department, at least we'll have a little bit of time between now and as the bill moves forward to talk about it.
Okay. So, Murphy, would you like to have the bill amended to say that they have to be minimum denominations of $1,000? That's what you had indicated, so.
Mr. Chairman, that'd be fine.
Okay, we might as well handle it right here. Mm-hmm. So you said there may be some other minor things in the bill. Have you identified what other things need to be taken care of? Why don't we get the finance folks up here? Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kurt Yoakum with the Department of Finance, and I do apologize. Assistant Commissioner Cardell, who handles this type of issue, is actually preparing for a rating agency call right at the moment.
Okay.
But basically the two changes it would be, as Senator Murphy already pointed out, is putting the minimum bid at $500 at $1,000 for exactly the reason Senator Murphy said, is at some point with the fees that might be charged by a brokerage account, it just gets too expensive and the value's not there. The other issue would be, as right now the legislation calls for only using zero coupon bonds, And the idea is to allow also to allow the use of current interest bonds for, at this point, zero coupon bonds are kind of unmarketable on the in the market, and so allowing the current interest bonds would actually make it easier to market. And Commissioner Cardell, I'm not exactly sure in what way or to the total amount would actually make the fiscal note they assume a little bit cheaper, allowing the current issue bonds to be used. And so that would be the other suggested change.
Well, let me clarify this now, because I'm trying to figure out where it says it. On page 1, line 9, it says issuing a portion of the state general bonds in, it says zero coupon form. So you're saying that that term should not be used, but it should be current interest form? Is that?
I believe that's what Commissioner Cardell was suggesting.
Okay. I mean, we'd like to get the bill in the good a shape as we can, mm-hmm. so that we can generate a meaningful fiscal note here. I'm trying to see if that term shows up anywhere else in the bill, and I don't see it. So what you're suggesting that on page 1, line 9, change zero coupon to current interest?
I think a current interest bond.
Okay. And the word form is the proper term there? In current interest form? I'm not sure if the word form is the right word or not. I have to rely upon that.
Well,
okay, Senator Murphy?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, why don't we just put in current interest bond?
Current interest bond, okay.
Yeah, and then we'll, that way we know what our intent is,
sure.
and we'll get the correct lingo.
If there's technical changes that need to be made, they can either be done in this division when we put the full bill together or mm-hmm. in the finance. But we still will be compiling a bill within this budget division, and we can mm-hmm. Make the corrections there. So you're suggesting page 1, line 9, take out the word zero coupon form and insert current interest bond. On page 1, line 15, change $500 to $1,000. And on page 2, line 9, where there is a blank, to insert 10%. Is that what you're suggesting, Senator Murphy? Or?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, actually, we could probably treat that as an author's amendment to put the bill in the shape that you wish to move ahead, since this is the first place that this bill is to be heard. Senator Olson moves on page 199, delete the word zero coupon form, insert current interest bond. On page 1, line 15, change $500 to $1,000. On page 2.9, where there's a blank, insert the number 10. Discussion on that motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Olson.
I'd be happy to make that motion. However, I was just wondering if after on 1.9 it shouldn't say like state general obligation bonds as issuing. Well, let's see. I was just thinking it instead of in doesn't seem like the right word there. In current interest bonds, or does that work? It just doesn't quite.
Issuing portion. I think it does.
Okay.
Issuing a portion in current interest bonds. And in denominations that will be attractive. I think it works. I think unless council can. Okay, Mr. Botter thinks it'll
okay,
work too.
Okay.
So discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevail. Are there any questions of Senator Murphy or Minnesota Management Budget? Is there anybody else who's here who wants to be heard on Senate File 1016 as amended? Well, Senator Murphy, okay. What we've been doing is that bills that we think are appropriate for inclusion, we take a vote on them. Obviously, if we think it's appropriate, it's fine. If we vote them down, it doesn't go in. So is there a motion for possible, not definite, but possible inclusion of this bill into the omnibus state government budget bill?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Senator Olson moves that Senate File 1016 be considered for possible inclusion in the omnibus state government budget bill. Is there discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion carried. Okay, thank you, Senator Murphy.
Very short.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Next, Senator Gimsey, we have Senate File 1298, Finance Department and Employees Relations Department name change. And so for purpose of this bill, we will refer to it as the Finance Department because the whole purpose of the bill is to change the name. Senator Gimsey, welcome to the Budget Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, I believe this is the first time I've been present in your committee, and I appreciate the opportunity to discuss with you Senate File 1298. Senate File 1298 is a a name change to the name Minnesota Management and Budget Department. What it is the culmination of when two agencies came together, the Minnesota Department of Employee Relations and the Department of Finance. Excuse me. With me is Stephanie Andrews, Deputy Commissioner for MMB, and she can answer any questions or discuss the bill further if you'd like.
Commissioner, welcome back. Is there anything you wish to add to Sarah Gibbsy's description of the bill?
Mr. Chair, I think that most of you here actually heard last time we presented, so I'm happy to answer questions if you have any.
Although there's no fiscal impact here, and we've all been hearing how they've been using stickers and so forth, and there's really no impact and so forth. Although I suppose it's possible the bill could travel separately, at this stage of the session, you try to keep in mind what the other body is up to, and I have a hunch they're probably going to roll this one into their omnibus bill. That's my guess.
There's no fiscal note,
but I mean we could send it on its own and just see what happens. I mean if it's an outlier, it's an outlier. So perhaps we should
send it on
its own. Okay.
It's policy.
Sure, it's policy. Okay.
That would be my motion.
Yeah. Okay. Senator Reston moves that Senate File 1298 be recommended to pass to the Finance Committee. Is there discussion on that motion? Anybody else who wants to be heard on this bill? Of that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion carries. Okay, so, Senator Gimsey, we're going to move it to the Finance Committee as a separate vehicle. What the House does, the House does. So, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. Okay, the next bill is Senate File 713, Senator Roebling's State Employee Suggestion System for Cost Savings to the State Award Program. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think this group probably all did hear this in the state and local government as well, except Senator Cooley is
not
on that anymore.
So
what the bill does is it actually asks the new Minnesota Budget and Management to set up a program whereby employees can suggest cost savings ideas. And as a result, if it is determined that they really do result in cost savings, that the employee could be eligible for up to 10% of the cost savings in the first year only, or up to $2,500 if it was really a good initiative and saved a lot of money. It could be a team of employees or an individual, but it would apply to, the cap would apply to either the team or the individual. And the idea came from the private sector, actually. I've heard of a number of businesses that have tried this among their employees with really some serious benefits coming out of it. One company did a big program and got everybody revved up about it, and they said in the end they thought they calculated that they saved $21 million within their company. And certainly with state government being much larger than that company was, there could be potential for a great deal of savings. The reason I think it's a good idea is because if the ideas come from the employees, I think that there'll be a greater buy-in to anything that will be proposed. And I think that matters a lot in the success of the program. And so that's why I think that we should provide some sort of an incentive for them to come up with it. I know that the MAPE union members were in lobbying a couple weeks ago and had it on their sheet as one of the bills that they would like to see passed. And when I talked to my local Ask Me people who came to lobby a week or two ago, they were also very supportive and said they would start to put on their thinking caps and think of ideas that might fall into the parameters of this program if it is approved. So I'm just asking for support for something that won't cost us anything if no ideas come forward, or even if the ideas come forward, it could save us a lot of money.
And Senator Roebling, we may need to just double-check a couple of things to make sure that this is going to work the way you intended to, because on page 1, line 12, it says that the maximum award is lesser of 10% in the first year in which the suggestion is implemented. I guess the question would arise, is that the first calendar year or the first fiscal year? And, of course, because that's important, because when the money is appropriated from the fund, for the savings. That matters because we operate on the fiscal years when it is, because you could have a situation where somebody makes a suggestion in one calendar year, which is different from the fiscal year, as you can, you know, because the fiscal calendar year starts on January 1st, fiscal year starts on July 1st. So I think if we're going to tie the appropriate the money to pay for it, it seems to make sense to me that we ought to try to tie the suggestion to the fiscal year, so the money is going to be there to pay for it. Because if you have the idea of, say, in let's say in May, I guess I'm just trying to think this one through, but the fiscal year is almost over and the savings aren't going to be realized for a little while. Then you're appropriating money out of one year into another. So I think you probably want to line up the first year into the fiscal year, so the money's actually going to be there. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I follow what you're saying. Yeah. I sort of intended for the first year that the cost-saving program was implemented, and it doesn't line up quite right, and it might pose some sort of a problem, especially if it leaped bienniums.
Right. So I think a year is a year, 12 months.
Right.
But it does matter whether you're talking the calendar year or the fiscal year, because right now it's vague as to which year you're talking about. It seems to me that if we say in the first fiscal year in which is implemented, then you're actually dealing with a fiscal year where the money is actually being saved, and you've got the money to appropriate to pay for the program. So you're not crossing bienniums or fiscal years if you hold everything within the fiscal year.
So, Mr. Chair, would the employee get the benefit of a whole year then? Would we be able to assure that?
Well, I think so, because I guess we need to talk about that. Because they're going to get the award based upon the savings in the first year. So you've actually had to have a year to go by.
Okay.
And if they saved money in that first fiscal year, mm-hmm. then that pays for the employee. So, but you're going to be paying it out of that fiscal year's savings, not out of the calendar year. So I think as I say, maybe we can think about this more, and if there's a better way to handle it. But it just sort of seems to me that on page 1, line 12, you probably want to say in the first fiscal year in which the suggestion is implemented, just so you can capture the money within the fiscal year.
Otherwise, Mr. Chair, maybe even on line 113,
uh-huh.
We could say money is appropriated from the fund in which the savings occurred to the commissioner for purposes of making the awards under this section, something about the fiscal year there, so that
sure.
the money is appropriated in the fiscal year.
Well, let me just throw it over to either our fiscal analyst or counsel to see if they've got any suggestions or ideas to make it work, so that the money is actually appropriated within the time period that the savings occurred, because I think that was a point of your bill, is that you wanted to use the money that was saved to help pay for the incentives.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Lundin or Mr. Bonner, do you have any thoughts on how we should handle this?
Mr. Chairman, I think if you want to link the appropriation to the fiscal year, it wouldn't hurt it would make sense on line 14 after fund to insert in the fiscal year. So it would read money is appropriated from the fund in the fiscal year in which the savings occurred.
Okay.
Be keeping those references consistent.
Okay. I think that would clear it up, Senator Roebling.
I would move that amendment
okay.
then.
So Senator Roebling moves on page 1, line 14, after the word fund, put in the fiscal year. So then that clarifies it, that the savings would be within the fiscal year when the savings actually occur.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Butter.
I think you might also want on line 12 to include mm-hmm. the earlier reference that you made
okay,
after first fiscal. Yeah.
Okay. So, Senator Roebling, would you incorporate that as well, too?
I will incorporate that.
Page 1, line 12, after the word first, put the word fiscal. And on page 1, line 14, after the word fund, put in the fiscal year. Okay. That's Senator Roebling's motion. Is there discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Any questions, Senator Roebling, on the bill? Is there anybody else who's here to be heard on Senate File 713 as amended? I guess I've got the question that we had on Senator Gimsey's bill. This doesn't have a fiscal note because it pays for itself. I guess it could go separately or go as part of the omnibus bill, as I say. If the Senate passes it separately and the House rolls it in, well, we'll just deal with that as an outlier bill. So do you have a preference, Senator Roebling?
Could we do a two-track?
Yeah. You want us to go separately?
That sure. Might be a good
okay.
idea.
Okay, so Senator Roebling moves that Senate File 713 as amended be recommended to the Finance Committee. Is there a discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion fails. Okay?
Thank you, members.
Thank you, Senator Roebling. Senator Brettner Solon, we've got Senate File 334, State Employee Veterans with Service-Related Disabilities Additional Sick Leave Program. Welcome to the Budget Division, Senator Brettner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. This bill began with an email from a constituent who happens to be a disabled veteran and a state employee. Steve DeHaan contacted me about the number of sick hours that he uses for a one-hour appointment at the Veterans Hospital. I learned that for every appointment he has, he uses 8 to 10 hours of sick leave. The drive alone from Duluth round trip takes Mr. DeHaan almost 5 hours. I realize that this must also be true for any other full-time disabled veteran employee in greater Minnesota. Senate File 334 would provide state employees who are military veterans and have a service-related disability with 40 extra hours of sick time to take medical appointments for that service-related disability if their sick leave balance is insufficient to receive treatment for their disability. The employee would receive the additional sick hours once their application is approved by their appointing authority. Since introduction of the bill, I have worked with Minnesota Management and Budget to reach compromise language that the department would not oppose. This second engrossment is that compromise language. Based on the fiscal note, which you probably have, it appears that the cost of this bill would be minimal, and it would be distributed throughout several agencies, so it may be that the departments could even absorb it. Mr. DeHaan could not make it to the hearing today to testify on the needy seas for the legislation, but members should have some written testimony from him in your packets today.
And Senator Brettner Solon, except for Senator Kubley, the members on the Budget Division who are here today heard the bill when it was in State and Local Government Operations and Oversight Committee.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned, Senator Brettner Solon, a second engrossment. We've got the first engrossment in our packets. I do recall it was amended in the policy committee. I don't know if does this the language that we have before us right now, does that reflect what Minnesota Management and Budget would support, or I don't know what we've got here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, it is a first engrossment.
Okay, so this is the first engrossment we're operating off of. Okay, so could you remind us just what the concerns of Minnesota Management and Budget were at the previous hearing?
I think initially they were just concerned about the fiscal note, but then after making a number of assumptions, they felt that as it was spread throughout the various agencies that they possibly could absorb it.
Okay. And the agency is here, so maybe we could just have them come forward to provide any further information on it. Mr. Yocum, welcome back to the Budget Division.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, my name is Kurt Yocum with Minnesota Management and Budget. First of all, we thank the senator for taking our considerations into concern. Basically, the issues were, how was the program going to be administered? How were the hours going to be requested? And was it going to be problematic, or was the veteran going to have to ask for everything in small increments, or could they request the whole thing at one time? And that was two-way beneficial, the way the senator amended it, for both the administrating entity and also for the veteran. And then the other issue was I think when the senator introduced the bill, the intent was to make sure that the sick time hours didn't accrue to be basically a benefit or an annuity that could be cashed out at the end of the state employment. And so then that was clarified here. Those were basically the department's concerns.
So it's all been, the concerns have been taken care of, at least from the state level.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, of course, it does have a local impact here as well, too. I don't know, Senator Brettner Solon, have you heard from the League of Cities or any groups with any issues or concerns on this one? Is anybody else here who wants to be heard on this bill?
Mr. Chair, I've not heard from anybody.
Okay.
It says no local.
It's
state employees only.
Only state employees, yeah. No, the fiscal note, I'm sorry, it says no local impact. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. It's only state employees affected, so you would not have heard from anybody locally. So.
Correct.
Okay. I think we understand it. Is there any questions of the author? Sir Olsen.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Mr. Yoakam, is this something that could be negotiated with AFSCME and MAPE and not really have to be put into law, or what are your thoughts on that?
Mr. Yoakam?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, off the top of my head, I'm not exactly sure the best way to answer that. I know that there had been some initial concerns from our state labor negotiator that there might be some issues with the unions, whether or not they felt that this, if you're creating a new benefit outside of a collective bargaining agreement. However, that being said, it wasn't an issue that we had heard anything about, and we felt comfortable that we weren't creating a new problem here. Conceivably, it could be a benefit that could be done via collective bargaining. I'm not sure if that would cover some folks at the management level or not. So I don't know all the details there. I apologize.
Sir Cobley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Yoakam. So since we're calling this sick leave, I assume it does not impact any other paid time off an employee might have. Is that accurate?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cobley, that's my understanding also.
Okay. Any other questions? What's the pleasure of the Budget Division? Do possible inclusion?
Yeah.
I'll okay. Sir, we'll see moves that Senate File 334 as amended be considered for possible inclusion in the State Government Budget Division bill. Is there discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you, Senator Pretner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Okay. The next bill is actually a bill I introduced on behalf of the Campaign Finance Board. Mr. Goldsmith, welcome back to the Budget Division. I'll just stay here. I'll let you tell us what it is you're trying to do here. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Gary Goldsmith. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. I'm here regarding Senate File 1192. Before we actually begin consideration of the file, I want to point out that the board's direction to me and its approach to the budget this year was not to request anything that would have an impact on the general fund of the state beyond the governor's recommendation, which is $698,000. The second provision of the bill that the board brought forward regarding a carry forward, and that's on lines 2.1 through 2.8, it turns out actually because of the way accounting is handled, would have an impact on the general fund of the state. And so the board will not be requesting that this committee proceed with that part of the bill. In other words, 2.1 through 2.8 could be stricken from the bill when the committee considers it. What that leaves is a request by the board that $50,000 from an existing appropriation each year be transferred to the board to supplement its existing budget per the governor's proposal. So we'd have $698,000 from the governor's in the governor's budget. We're agreeable to that figure, and an additional $50,000 from the appropriation that is currently in Chapter 10A.31, Subdivision 4. That appropriation is to the general account of the State Elections Campaign Fund, which means it's paid out in a formula or by a formula to candidates who sign public subsidy agreements and are in the general election. And by that formula, each candidate for a particular office will receive the same amount, unlike the checkoff provision that varies by party. And the analysis that we did indicates that the effect of this proposal for the next general election would be just under $200 for a House or a Senate candidate. And 2 years from now, the same amount would be the effect on a House candidate, slightly more for a Senate because it's a two-year election for the senators. The board's position with the governor was that when looking at the board's budget, the governor ought to look at the overall entire cost of campaign finance in Minnesota, which would mean the board's budget, the cost to the Office of Administrative Hearings in administering complaints filed with regard to Chapter 10A candidates, and also the cost of public subsidy. And the board further recommended both to the governor and to the legislature that when looking at the board's budget, it be supported for sufficient staff to do its work and maintain the level of services both to its clients who file and are regulated by the board and also to the public who is interested in information produced by the board. The governor didn't see fit to do that, and we got the 5% cut that most all agencies did. So this proposal would reinstate a portion of that. I want to tell you where we've been, where we are, and where we'll be going. Since 2000, back when the state agencies operated on the complement system, we were improved for a complement of 9 staff. That was when we rolled out a newer version of our campaign finance software and we got a second IT position. And we've had that 9 staff really up until about a year ago when funds started to be insufficient to support that staff of 9. It was the board's recommendation that the legislature fund us for between 8 and 8.5 staff on an ongoing basis. And I think that an optimum staff size would really be 8.5, but the budget I'm putting forward on behalf of the board is for a staff of 8. And in order to get from, first of all, from 9 to 8.5, we're able to do that because of the technology improvements we put in place, the biggest one being online lobbyist report filing. To get from 8.5 to 8, which is what I'm proposing, we will continue to improve our use of technology, but also we've added into the budget some contract services through the Office of Technology, Enterprise Technology, to do data entry during those critical periods at the end of the year during a regular year when reports come in and 3 times a year during an election year, because quite a bit of what that 0.5 person would do would be data entry during those critical times, but also there would be plenty of other work. At 8 or 8.5 positions, no one is sitting around. Actually, when we were at a full 9, we were seeing that one staff member was not fully utilized, and that position was eliminated and restructured into a technology position. Right now, we're operating with 8 positions. You do have a handout which shows you the FY9 adjusted budget. This is the board's working budget for fiscal 9, and then it shows you on the yellow columns the 2010 and 11 budget. We're holding right now at 8.8 positions in FY9 because we did hold a position open for quite a long time, the technology position. Otherwise, our budget, it's close to 90% salaries, so anything that happens to our budget happens to people. And if we are forced to operate just with the governor's $698,000, essentially that means the position that's listed on line 1, which is listed as an office administrative principal in education, that position would be gone and we would be at essentially 7 positions. That position doesn't actually exist right now. Our office supervisor, services supervisor, is retiring in August, and her position will be restructured to do all of the regular day-to-day routine things she does. For example, she handles the whole economic interest program and lots of other things, but that position will be structured to also provide better education to our clients. If we don't have 7 positions, the effect will be noticeable. It will be noticeable on the people that file with us, and it'll be noticeable to the public. Particularly, I'm worried that what will happen is the board will start to revert to where it was 10 or 15 years ago, and that was strictly really a compliance organization. Letters went out, notices went out. There was little in the form of education. We were really a compliance factory. Under the direction of former director Gene Olson, that whole concept of the board changed to one of customer service. But customer service is fairly labor-intensive. We take the time to call people. We take the time to work one-on-one with people who file with us. And if we lose that 8th position and go to 7, which we've not been at for many, many, many years, that level of customer service is just going to have to drop.
Senator Betzel, would you like to move?
Yes. I pass the gavel to Sarah Olsen since this is my bill. We've got the A1 amendment, and this basically puts the bill in the shape that Mr. Goldsmith described. Perhaps we could have Mr. Lundin explain that this is the same money. It's just kind of being restructured in a different way to make it a little clearer in statute as to how it is being distributed.
Mr. Lundin?
Thank you. Yeah, basically what the bill is doing, if you look, currently there's an appropriation of $1,250,000 that goes into the state elections campaign. And what this does is it provides the $100,000 to the campaign finance board, and it also provides $65,000 each year to the Office of Administrative Hearings to deal with campaign complaints. Now, that has already been in statute, and that's been a transfer out of the state elections campaign fund. And so after talking to MMB staff, it was decided to kind of clear this up a little bit because the state elections campaign appropriation was only every other year, but the transfer to Office of Administrative Hearings was every fiscal year. So it just makes it clearer from an accounting standpoint and showing it in the budget books and what's going on. So then with Senator Betzold's bill, it was decided to do the $50,000 each year in that same format so that we didn't have the same kind of hard-to-follow transfer that was going on to OEH. So essentially it's cost neutral. There's no fiscal note on it. It's just redistributing the dollars.
I'll move the A1 amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions on the A1 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Now it's in the form that the author prefers. Any other questions on the bill? Okay, with that, all those in favor?
I'll move that the Senate file 1192, it does have a fiscal impact, so it's going to have to be looked at as part of the omnibus bill. So I will move that Senate file 1192, as amended, be considered for the omnibus state government budget bill.
That is a motion on the table. All those, any other questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Bang.
I banged it.
Not as hard as it. Well, we don't want to put any more dents on the table than we have to. Thank you, Mr. Goldsmith.
Thank you.
Okay, that completes the agenda for today. On Wednesday, Senator Pogemiller has the Congressional Redistricting Principles Bill. It was heard in the Policy Committee. It does have a fiscal impact, and so we're going to be looking at it here. Senator Rest has state capital bonding bill and appropriation, and then we're going to continue the discussion to finish the governor's bill for the state government budget bill. We didn't quite finish it the other day. There's still a couple of things we have to tie up on that one, so that will be coming up. I think next week Senator Bonoff has had the Iran investment bill that had been on the Senate floor, and she has moved it off of general orders into the Finance Committee, so I think we're going to get to that bill next week, too. And we're also going to start doing some things to put together our budget bill very soon, I guess. So with that, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.